verse 5, he says, your faith. And there is a connection between those two. His preaching was not with enticing words according to the wisdom of man, but in demonstration of the power of God, that your faith might stand in God rather than men, is what he's saying. But what we want to notice there is there's a connection between my preaching, Paul, and your faith. And that's still true today. There is a connection between the preaching of the man that God has placed within a body of Christ to do so. There is a connection between that preaching and the hearers and their faith. One of the greatest privileges on earth is to be placed by God in a body of Christ under the preaching and teaching ministry. You see, a lot of people want to be a member of a body of Christ. The problem is they don't want anything to do with the preaching or teaching ministry of that body. It doesn't work that way. There's a bond. There is a connection. And one of the greatest privileges is to be placed by God in a body of Christ under the preaching and teaching ministry of a God-called, God-placed preacher. And such should never, ever be taken for granted or treated lightly. And I believe that we often take it for granted, and it is often treated lightly. And it is a great danger. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 5, you can look at this verse in a twofold way. You can look at it as a command, which certainly it is. You can also look at it as a warning, which I believe it is also. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20, despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. The subject of the verse is prophesyings. So that being the subject of the verse, it would be good for us to understand what is meant by prophesyings, since that is the subject of the verse. Back in Romans 12, verse 6, we'll not turn there, but back in Romans 12, verse 6, we read of the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy? What is it to prophesy? To prophesy is a Holy Spirit-given gift. It is a Holy Spirit-given skill to publicly proclaim God's Word. That's what prophesying is all through the Old Testament. God's prophets, preachers, were told to prophesy or to preach. They were the public proclaimers of God's message. And really, it was the failure to listen to those prophets that led to their bondage. That was what was at the core of their result in bondage. So these prophets were given the message of God. They were commanded to speak that message, which was really just a declaring the mind of God. Notice how Ezekiel explains it. If we turn over to Ezekiel chapter 2, Ezekiel chapter 2. We'll read begin reading with verse 7. We want to read down through verse 3 of chapter 3. This is, God is calling Ezekiel to preach. This began there in chapter 2, the first verse. But in verse 7, thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. So that's where it begins. That's where this prophecy begins. The prophet must listen to what God says to him. So, verse 8 again, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. In other words, I will give you the message. You must partake of the message. You must eat the message. You must digest the message. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. What's he spreading? The message. He's making known the message. And it was written within and without, and the inside and the outside, and there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. So it was a message of lamentations, mourning, and woe. Verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. That is, you must digest the message. The message is burned into the heart of Ezekiel. There's hardly anything worse than someone preaching the word of God in a meek, mild, apologetic sort of way. They are to have the message burned within them. They are to believe what they are preaching. It's not a presentation of several ideas and multiple choice. That's not preaching. Preaching is the declaring boldly the message that God has given. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee, then that I eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And we could go on, but you get the point. Ezekiel was a prophet. Ezekiel received a message from God. He was then to go and proclaim that message. Prophesying is simply the preaching of God's word. Preaching is a proclamation. It is a proclamation. It is a declaration of what God says. It is a God called, we've already looked at all this, it is a God called, God appointed, God gifted, God sent herald declaring the message of a king to a particular people in a particular place at a particular time. And you and I that believe in the sovereignty of God ought to take that more seriously than anyone else in the world, because God's the one who put it all together. And this is all through the Old Testament. The central place of preaching in the New Testament, the central place of preaching today, is the churches of the Lord. That is who the Lord is going to use. So this command here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20, despise not prophesying. Keep in mind who this is written to. It is written to the church of Thessalonica. You read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. There are many, many good things said about the church of Thessalonica. This was a good church. This was a strong church. This was a church that had manifested their faith. He said there in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 that they had received the word of God. But by the time we get to the end of the book, toward the end of the book, there is this warning, there is this command, despise not prophesying. What does that mean? That means do not under any circumstances make light of or treat in a frivolous manner the preaching of God's word. You do not neglect it. You do not relegate it. You certainly do not reject it. Despise not prophesying. Now, the fact that such a warning exists suggests that the possibility exists. He's writing to a good church, but the possibility was still there that they might get to a point where they began to make light of the preaching of God's word. They could do that. There are many things that cause that. Sin, of course, is the root cause of all of it. But it could be familiarity. You become so familiar with something that pretty soon you begin to make light of it. That is probably the greatest danger today in the Lord's churches. And that is why, really, anymore, if a preacher's there more than 2 or 3 weeks, people are tired of him. It used to be years, and now it's just a matter of weeks, matter of months. First few weeks, I mean, man, the preacher could have a meeting 200 miles away, and most of the church would be there. Oh, we want to hear him preach. 2 weeks later, they can barely make their own church. And that's just the way it is. People become familiar. They begin to make light of. And this was the warning. Despise not prophesying. Now the pastor, there is many senses in which he can despise or make lightly of preaching. That would be, of course, to not prepare, not to study. That would be making, he would be making light of the responsibility to preach. So he is to diligently prepare to preach. And since the preaching and teaching ministry is the central task, it is imperative that there be a proper attitude toward the preaching of God's word. It is imperative that this part of pastoral ministry, as we've spent the last 2 weeks talking about, be bolstered. That is, that it be fortified. That it be supported. God's people should never take for granted the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing of hearing the Word of God preached from the man that God has sent to that particular body of Christ of which you are a member. That opportunity to hear and the hearing of God's word preached from the man that God has sent and placed and equipped makes one blessed. Not only does it make them blessed, it makes them responsible. They are responsible. The preacher is responsible for every message he preaches. You're responsible for every message he preaches as well. They are accountable for what they hear. They are accountable for how they hear. They are accountable for what they do with the Word of God. Because every time God's Word is preached, you do something with it. Every single time. Right now, you're doing something with it. Every single time, you do something with it. And the members of the Lord's churches have a responsibility to encourage preaching. They have a responsibility to help preaching. They have a responsibility to assist in the preaching of God's word. To fail to do this is to treat it lightly. To fail to do this is to despise prophesying. And all forms, and there are many forms, and we're not going to go through that tonight, but there are many, 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 many ways in which preaching is despised or thought lightly of. But all forms of treating lightly the preached word of God is a hindrance and is a stumbling block to the preaching ministry, and therefore it is a hindrance to the very body of Christ, of which one is a member. This is very, very serious. It should absolutely terrify a member of a body of Christ to think that it is possible that they could be a hindrance to the preached word within that body. That should terrify us. Preacher, it ought to terrify the preacher. It ought to terrify each here that it is possible. Again, this warning was given to a very sound church, but the possibility existed. So the ministry of preaching and teaching God's word is, we want to consider some ways in which it's bolstered or in which it is fortified and supported and assisted. We spent last week on one of them, and that would be praying earnestly. Praying earnestly for the preacher and the preached word. Again, let's turn over to Ephesians 6. We looked at these verses last week. Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20. We just want to read them again. And for me, that utterance, that's the message. That the message may be given unto me. Once the message is given, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That I may preach boldly and plainly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein, my bonds, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, we spent last week on these verses. Verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. That is, that all stumbling blocks, that all hindrances would be removed. Every church member ought to be praying for the preaching of God's word, and one of the things they ought to be praying for is that every hindrance be removed. That every stumbling block be removed, that God's word may have free course. So it is a prayer that God would give the preacher the message of the hour, the ability to preach that message, the liberty to preach that message. When a pastor is not at liberty, whether it be his own fault or whether it be the Spirit in the church, the preaching is hindered. So there has to be this prayer that it has free course, that he have liberty to preach that message, that all hindrances would be removed, that repentance would be granted, and that people would be set free. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. He's talking to Timothy about preaching. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They oppose themselves. There's a message there. If God, peradventure, if God by chance will give them repentance And repentance comes about by the acknowledging of the truth. You have to hear the truth before you can acknowledge it. So you pray that those who oppose themselves, and there are many, that God would grant them repentance by causing them to acknowledge the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare or the trap of the devil in which they have fallen and are taken captive by him at his will. The failure to be serious enough to pray is to treat the preaching ministry lightly. One does not think, and this may offend some, but one does not think very highly of the preaching ministry if they do not pray for it. We have to be serious enough to pray. Serious enough to pray. Also, the ministry of preaching and teaching God's Word is fortified by the preparation of hearts to receive the preached and taught Word. To receive it. Earnest prayer and preparation creates a thirst. If you have prayed for the preaching of God's Word, you've spent since Sunday night praying for this night, and you spend, starting after this service, you begin praying for Sunday, and you do that every day, and you do it throughout the day, you will have a thirst to be there. You will have an excitement, an eagerness, and an anticipation for hearing and receiving of the preached and taught Word of God. So the preaching ministry is bolstered when one is serious enough to pray, when one is serious enough to hear and to receive the message. Now the Lord, of course, uses the preaching of God's Word to do several things. He uses it to strengthen our faith. He uses it to produce hope and to give us growth, and on we can go. He instructs us in righteousness. He admonishes us. He comforts us. He encourages us. He converts us through the preaching of His Word. He rejoices our hearts. God uses the preached Word. And God blesses His people through the preached Word. And God blesses His churches through the preached Word. And God saves lives and souls through the preaching of His words. And God uses the preached Word to rescue individuals from their self-destructive ways. With all that in mind, we ought to make earnest preparation. Wednesday's coming. Sunday's coming. I have to make preparation to receive the Word of God. There should be no stumbling into the house of God unprepared to hear and to receive the Word of God. We should come prepared. Come prepared to listen to what God has to say. So this preparation includes prayer. It includes prayer for the preacher. It includes prayer for the hearer. It includes self-examination. It includes confession. It includes repentance. All of this is included in preparing to hear the Word of God. Now we are instructed, notice in James 1 and verse 21, wherefore, he's talking about hearing the Word of God here in James chapter 1. In verse 19 he says, let every man be swift And that means ready. Let every man be ready to hear. Let him be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then he goes on in verse 21. After, in verse 20, he explains what he means by slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart, that is, pull off, strip away all filthiness, that which is offensive to God, that which is dangerous, that which breeds germs, that's filth. Lay apart all filthiness. You don't pick and choose. You lay apart all filthiness. And superfluity, which speaks of abundance, of naughtiness, which is active wickedness. The filth is more of an inward thing. And naughtiness or outward behaviors of wickedness, all these are to be put off. This is in the context of hearing God's word. This is necessary for the receiving of the truth. Verse 21, and receive. This is necessary to receive it. If we are going to receive the message, we are to receive it in our hearts. Therefore, we have to have room in our hearts to receive it. You cannot come into the house of God with a heart packed full of earth and expect to receive the Word of God. There's no room. That's why these things have to be cast out. That's why they have to be put away. Today, people not only don't cast it off, they bring the world in with them in abundance. So all of this is to be cast off. Again, a failure to be serious enough to make preparation is to treat the preaching ministry lightly. And if you treat it lightly, it is a hindrance to the body of Christ. It is a hindrance to the ministry. Also, the ministry of preaching and teaching God's word is fortified or helped by giving proper attention. This, of course, is necessary to receiving it. It is the consequence of prayer and preparation. God speaks through his word. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, we're to be ready to hear the word of God. Mark 4 and Luke 8, we're to take heed what we hear. We're to take heed how we hear. James 1, verse 19, we are to be swift to hear. There ought to be intense concentration when the word of God is preached. We read in Luke 19 and verse 48 concerning the teaching of Christ, they were very attentive to hear him. They were very attentive to hear him. There are always distractions. Anytime you get this many people in one room, there are going to be distractions. But a lot of the distractions, if our hearts were right and if we were prepared, would not be distractions. Now, I understand that moms and dads have to take care of crying children. I understand that, and that's not what I'm talking about. But everybody else in the church doesn't have to be distracted by it. Not if they're paying earnest attention. It can be distracting if people get up and walk out, if you let it be distracting. So intense attention is necessary. This requires preparation. The Lord said to the churches of Asia, to each one of those churches, he said, he that hath an ear, That is, he that hath a spiritual ear, not everybody has a spiritual ear, but he that has a spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That is, they're to pay attention. So, proper hearing involves praying. Proper hearing involves thoughtful reflection. Thoughtful hearing involves personal examination. Thoughtful hearing involves personal application. Thoughtful hearing involves personal reception of the preached word. And in James 1:21, following the personal preparation, receive, that is, take in, accept, welcome, believe, show hospitality to the word of God, and you do that with meekness. That is, with a spirit of readiness to be controlled by the word. We ought to be paying close attention with meekness, that is, with the desire, I want to be controlled by the word. I want to be rebuked by the word. I want to be corrected by the word. I want my life controlled by the word. And if we come with that preparation, there is not one single person who will ever go out of here saying, I feel like I was picked on. Well, if you came with the right heart, you would go out, praise God, he picked me. That would be your attitude if you were properly prepared. That we might receive with meekness the preaching of God's word. The truth is, if we came in the right spirit, it would not bother us if the preacher got up and mentioned us by name. It wouldn't bother us if we came in the right spirit. Very few people come prepared to receive the word of God. Very few. So, the failure to be serious enough to give attention is a taking lightly the word of God. What God must think to see a people so easily distracted from the hearing of God's word. I have a message that I've worked it all up. I may preach it someday. Well, the Lord hasn't really led me to. Plus, I have a fear of coming off as a smart aleck. But I want to bring my cell phone up here. I'm going to have Sharon call it. I'm going to answer. I'm going to look at it. Then I'm going to go out. I'm going to stay in the hall for a few more minutes and talk. And then I'm going to come back in and start preaching. And then I'm going to get up. Oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm going to go out the hall. And I'm going to do the whole message like that, just to make a point. I've been tempted to preach at a conference, just to make a point. And my question is, how long would it take you to vote that preacher out? I guess between morning and evening service, he would be gone. That is the height of hypocrisy. It really is. It's the height of hypocrisy. Because we ought to come prepared to hear the word of God. And you already know my spiel on self. I don't even believe you should have them in church. But we're going to get off here. Proper receiving is to obey. James 1:22 through 25, we're not going to take the time. But again, if we're just hearers and not doers, we're like a man who looks at his face in the mirror after he's eaten breakfast, sees egg all over it, and goes to work with egg all over his face. Doesn't pay any attention to the mess that's on his face. And that's what it is to hear the word of God and not to obey it. We ought to take it serious enough to obey. Now, the Bible presents different types of hearers. Matthew 7:24-27, there's the man who hears and does not, and he's like the individual who builds his house upon sand. Then there's the individual who hears and he obeys. He conforms. And he's like the man who built his house upon a rock. In both cases, the storms came. The man who built his house upon the sand, the storms came. The man who built his house upon a rock, the storms came. And it doesn't matter who you are, the storms are going to come. And how you've treated the Word of God up until that storm could greatly determine how you come through that storm. You can't just, well, I'm having a storm, so I'm going to go and listen to the preacher today. That's hypocrisy. There has to be a consistency of listening to the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, and we'll close with this. This is very familiar. We've preached on these things many times, but my point is there has to be a connection between the members of the body of Christ and the preaching of God's Word. And when God places a man in a church to preach, He gives them the messages for that church, at that particular time. And there ought to be a very close relationship between the message and the hearers. Now, Jesus presents four types of hearers, and then He explains them here in the parable of the sower. In verse 4 of Matthew 13, He speaks of the wayside hearer. Seeds are sown and they fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, that is, the seeds. Verse 19, He explains what this means. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which receives seed by the wayside." Satan snatches this seed almost before it falls. But he snatches it as soon as it falls. The seed has no chance of producing fruit. Then there is the stony ground here, verse 5. And we see here that there's not much earth. The seed springs up for a little while, but that's it because there's no depth. And this is explained in verse 20 and 21, "But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon or immediately with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself." This is the individual who listens to the word of God and actually enjoys it, and enjoys listening to it, and may be excited for a little while. Time they get out to their car, they've encountered a problem. And there goes the message. "Yet hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Doesn't take them long to get upset about something, and everything they heard is gone. The reason for this is they're superficial. They're shallow. They're spiritually superficial individuals. They are shallow spiritually. There's no depth. Verse 7, there's the thorny ground here. And this perhaps is the most common of our day. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." And he explains it in verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The cares of the world, whether they be legitimate cares or illegitimate cares, the deceitfulness of riches, that is, the pursuit after vanity, overtakes the preaching of the word. All three of those cases is an example of despising prophesying. Then, of course, he mentions the fourth, But other fell into good ground. Good ground is prepared ground. It fell into, you'll notice in verse 4, it fell by the wayside. Verse 5, it fell upon stony places. Verse 7, it fell among thorns. And verse 8, it fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit. Some was 100-fold, some was 60-fold, and some was 30-fold. Not everyone is going to produce the same amount of fruit. God calls some and enables some to produce 100-fold, others 60, others 30. But I'll tell you what, I'll take a church full of 30-fold over a church full of wayside, thorny ground hears. 30-fold is much better than the others. But what is it that produces this fruit? The seed fell into the ground. That is, it was received. There ought to be a close relationship between pastoral preaching and teaching and the members of the body of Christ. One of the saddest things in the world is when a member of a body of Christ, where the Lord has placed a man at his time to preach and teach the message of God, one of the saddest things is when that person does not receive the message, does not benefit from the message. That's sad. That is so very, very sad. There ought to be an attachment between members and the teaching and preaching ministry. The good ground hears are what John refers to in 3 John verse 8. He said that ye are fellow helpers to the truth. When the Word of God is, the preached Word of God is prepared for, listened to, received, obeyed, that is a fellow helper to the truth. When just the opposite is done, that's not a helper to the truth. I don't care if they're here every Sunday and every Wednesday. That's not a helper to the truth. That's a hindrance to the truth. To be a helper to the truth, you have to obey the truth. You have to respect the truth. God has given His churches, He's given all of us, wonderful, wonderful privilege of hearing the Word of God. You know, we read there in the Old Testament, there was a famine of hearing. The famine wasn't in the preaching. The famine was in the hearing of the Word of God. People get that backwards sometimes. But the famine was in the hearing of the Word of God. There were preachers to preach, there were not hearers to listen or to receive. That you read the history of Europe, England in particular. That's what happened. And today there's not a church there. One time they sent missionaries to the United States. But you despise preaching long enough, and it will dry up. It will dry up. There are churches. Now I have to explain myself, but there are churches that no longer exist. Some of them no longer exist because God, their time was up. It wasn't God's will for them to forever be there. Others have dried up because of a despising of prophesying, a despising, a treating lightly the Word of God. there has to be this union, this attachment between the preached and taught word and the hearing. There has to be that attachment. And where there's that attachment, the church is blessed. The people are blessed. The people are excited when they come in the building. They can't wait for the preaching to start. And they hate to see it end. They can't wait for it to start. They hate to see it end. That's how we ought to feel toward the preaching of God's word. So God help us that there be this relationship. Next week we want to look at the most important relationship of all in the church, and that is the members' relationship, each one of us, to the Lord. That's the most important relationship of all, and if we have that relationship, all these others will take care of itself. You don't even have to worry about all the rest of them. You get a right relationship with God, everything else takes care of itself. Brother Jim. It's also